Welcome to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program. I'm Sharon Eubank of the General Relief Society Board, and today we're talking about charity with the General Relief Society President, Sister Julie B. Beck. Thanks.
Thanks, Sharon. Good to be here.
I want to start talking today specifically about charity. It's a big topic. What is the difference between charity and unconditional love?
Charity is bigger than that. And the Savior defined it. If you want to go into the scriptures, if you go into Moroni, if you go into 1 Corinthians, Joseph Smith used 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 13 to talk about charity, where it talked about that whole list, that it suffers long. Suffers long. You're long-suffering. And you're kind and not envying. And there's a lot of here what not to do. It's mm-hmm. not puffed up. It isn't unseemly. It's not seeking her own. You've got to get over yourself if you're going to have charity in your life. You don't think evil. You're not easily provoked. This is a tough list to follow. Charity is becoming like Christ. And we're told in the Book of Mormon and Moroni that if we aren't possessed of this at last day, too bad for us. We can't be saved without charity. Even if we believe in the Savior Jesus Christ and in his mission, it isn't going to save us if we can't become like him.
I like that you're bringing up that charity really is about the attributes of Christ. I was in a scripture study with a friend of mine, and she took that verse that you're referring to in Moroni, and wherever it said, charity suffereth long and is kind, she replaced that with Christ suffereth long and is kind, and it really brought that point home to me.
That it's becoming like him. We have faith in him, and we're never going to accomplish this without the atonement and the enabling power of the atonement. It's just not possible. We're too mortal. But we have faith in him and his atonement. We have that hope. That's one of the three great hopes, hope in this atonement, that it's possible. I really think it's possible. And then the charity comes as a gift, really, as we're seeking it. I love, lest you think that I have any of this. It's always scary to talk about charity when every mortal who talks about it knows they haven't arrived yet. And I could never say that I'm the expert on charity because I know in my heart where I'm weak at developing charity. And the Lord teaches me about that all the time. So lest you think I really know about this, I know what I think it is, and I know what it's not from experience. And I know what the Lord teaches me when he wants me to repent and change and become more long-suffering. He is very pointed in teaching me how to be this. And so here's President Kimball, who really taught us about this. And this is in Daughters of My Kingdom. I hope you're just gobbling up and devouring this book and finding some of the answers to your questions in this book. They're there. And there are things to ponder. But here's something from President Kimball. The cultivation of Christ-like qualities is a demanding and relentless task. It is not for the seasonal worker. You can't just say, well, I got it this week. You might have moved a fraction toward it. But it isn't for the seasonal worker, he says, or for those who will not stretch themselves again and again. And when President Kimball's saying this, he means stretching. That's repenting. That's feeling sad for the times we know we haven't had charity. And working hard in the repentance process to develop that and refine ourselves over and over again. Repenting every week. I'm so glad we get that opportunity. But that's the charity the Savior means when he's saying charity. President Monson gave a great talk about that when he's saying we don't judge each other. We're all supposedly working on this. And if you think someone's not, oh well, it's your job to work on yourself.
At Christmas time, one of the devotionals that I heard was talking about it's so unnatural in the world, the way this world is set up, because nothing is set up to be charitable. The worldly, carnal feelings that we have inside us aren't set up to be that way. And so God sent his own son to give us this perfect example of what this is like. And then the scriptures are full of examples of
this. As the world becomes less Christ-like, his example becomes so glaringly different.
There's a little audio question. This is a woman named Andrea. Let's listen to what she says.
Hi, Sister Beck. I was wondering what women in the scriptures you look up to as prime examples of charity.
Thank you, Andrea. The scriptures are full of women who are have examples of charity. You could start out in the Old Testament with some of those great women. Rebecca is one of the women that I love to ponder about. I think she must have been a magnificent soul. I think of Mary and Elizabeth and what they must have given to each other in patience and long-suffering and love and support and not judging. And that was wonderful. Mary and Martha, here's two women who are trying to figure out how to be disciples. And the Savior took pains to teach them in a very charitable and sweet way, and they grew and developed. You can watch their progress in the scriptures. Women who started to become more like Christ. I think of Abish, who had this understanding and testimony for years, and then when she finally had the chance, she went out and shared the gospel. What must that have been like for her? How about Nephi's wife? I don't even know her name. But Nephi's wife had to have had a lot of experience with patience and long-suffering and a lot of these kinds of things. The women who were the mothers of the anti-Nephi-Lehi warriors, those amazing women, 2,060 of them. If you have 2,060 boys who have absolute faith, what are their mothers like? And how unified and charitable they must have been in supporting each other in this. They couldn't have had any division among them to get a group of boys like that. Those are just some to start with.
You mentioned Daughters in My Kingdom, and I was thinking about the Relief Society motto, which is Charity Never Faileth, mm-hmm. and how it was selected by Sister Emmeline B. Wells. I think it was around 1914.
Yes.
And she picked this motto with her counselors and under revelation right as a world war was beginning and starting.
So I remember you teaching us once, Sharon, we were studying in this book, and you, and what was, I've got to find the chapter here with this in it. Charity Never Faileth, chapter 5, and it said that she was prepared for this responsibility, and you said that was an understatement. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us just a few of the things she experienced in her life that helped prepare her to understand what this really meant?
Well, I think about the world situation during that time. You've got members of the church all over the world who suddenly find themselves on different sides of a worldwide conflict.
Yes.
You've got women who are at home. Their husbands are out fighting at the front. They're responsible for keeping everything together at home. There's an economic downturn. And suddenly, you've got the General Relief Society president saying, but charity never faileth.
What happened in her life to help her understand that? What do you know about Emmeline Wells?
Well,
just a couple of things about her.
It's an interesting thing. She was married young. She was probably 15, and she and her new husband arrived in Nauvoo, and they shook the prophet's hand as he came off. But several months after they arrived, he was killed. And then her parents-in-law, who were with them, said, you know what? We're not staying. This isn't for us. And then her first little baby was born, and a couple months into his life, he got sick. And she nursed and nursed him, but he died. And then the husband said, I'll go find work and then I'll send for you. And then he never came back and he never sent any word. And suddenly she's 18 years old. She has no family. She's basically a widow. She's lost her first child. And there's nobody to take care of her except the Relief Society women in Nauvoo who are all grieving about losing the prophet. And she said, it was then that I learned what charity really means.
So this was an understatement for her, but much needed. Thank you.
As Relief Society sisters now try to live that same motto that Emmeline B. Wells did, how do we live that motto every single day?
I love what Joseph Smith taught the sisters in the First Relief Society. And Joseph was really trying to teach the sisters how to have this kind of society. He says you've got to be what he called them was a select society. And he said, don't be limited in your views with regard to your neighbor's virtues. You must enlarge your soul towards others if you do like Jesus. As you increase in innocence and virtue, as you increase in goodness, let your hearts expand. Let them be enlarged towards others. You must be long-suffering and bear with the faults and errors of mankind. How precious are the souls of men. Can you see, sisters, they are preparing to go to the temple and make covenants that would prepare them there. And he's saying, you've got to be bigger. And then he says this. This is on page 17. He said, he says, we can only live by worshiping our God. All must do it for themselves. None can do it for another. So this kind of behavior is something nobody can do for you. Then he said, sisters, shall there be strife among you? I will not have it. You must repent and get the love of God, not war, not jangle, not contradiction, but meekness, love, purity. These are the things that should magnify us. He said, let us be pure ourselves. So this is the kind of effort that Relief Society is about. Our purposes are to help us increase faith and personal righteousness. They're right here in the front of our book. If we ever forget, they're right there. Faith, family, and relief. We are to increase faith and personal righteousness. That's going to take that's a lot of work to develop that kind of charity, to strengthen families and homes and seek out and help others who are in need. Can you see the charity and the love encompassed in all of that? We have three major assignments that will keep us busy all our lives, and that is at the core of it.
I want to ask you about this idea that you're talking about, that we need to elevate our hearts so that we can live these principles of charity. And in a world where terribly difficult things happen to women, things that should never happen but still do. There's a sister named Amanda. She's from Texas, and she has a question about this, but it's about what kind of advice would you give when things that shouldn't happen happen and how we could exercise charity. So let's listen to her.
Thank you.
My name is Amanda, and I'm from Frisco, Texas. How do you balance or draw a line towards individuals who are unhealthy for you or destructive to your well-being when you're consumed with unconditional love and charity for that person? How much can and should one person endure without becoming uncharitable?
Well, we never have permission from the Lord to become uncharitable. He said that's our goal. So I love this. This is a key in Ether chapter 12, verse 37. This is Moroni now is recording in Ether. He's talking about the love, and the love thou hast for men is charity. And except we have this, we can't inherit the place you have for this. And you think of Moroni. Think of Moroni's life. How much abuse did he have to stand up to? He saw his family slaughtered. And war. He lived in it. This is horrible war. And as hard and difficult things as we have had and seen, I don't know if any of it is as hard as Moroni saw. And this is the teacher of charity in the Book of Mormon. Every time there's a discourse about charity in the Book of Mormon, it comes from the pen of Moroni and Mormon. Now you think about that. How much did they have to put up with? So it came to pass, this is in verse 7, that the Lord said unto me, Moroni, if they have not charity, it mattereth not unto thee. Thou hast been faithful, wherefore thy garment shall be made clean, and because thou hast seen thy weakness, thou shalt be made strong, even unto the sitting down in the place which I have prepared in the mansions of my Father. And so that's when he said, I bid farewell to you, the Gentiles. But I love it that the Lord says, it doesn't matter if other people don't have charity. You have been faithful. That's our challenge. It really is a challenge not to become uncharitable when horrible things happen to us in our lives. And the adversary is working hard at that. Another example is Nephi. I love Nephi. Now, you think of Nephi and his life and the betrayal that happened to him. He was betrayed over and over again and disappointed in other people over and over again and beaten, and his brothers tried to murder him. And so much that he eventually had to separate himself and not live by them. 2 Nephi chapter 4, study this one. Ponder this one. If you're in a situation where you're feeling betrayed and hurt and injured and it is really hard for you, you think of Nephi and what he had to tolerate in his life. And just after he talks about the scriptures and how wonderful they are, this is in verse 17, he says, "Notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh, and my soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am compassed about because of the temptations and sins which do so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support, and he hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep, and he hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. And he has confounded my enemies and caused the earth to quake." And so he just, and it's just wonderful rhapsody of his testimony of the atonement. That in spite of all these things, and he admits to his weakness of that these things get to him sometimes. But then he remembers, you know, and in verse 28, "Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more to the enemy, my soul." So there are a lot of examples in the scriptures, but none better than Nephi, Mormon, and Moroni. These are marvelous, marvelous teachers. And then you'll find great examples in Daughters of My Kingdom of sisters who've lived through very, very difficult times, and some of it betrayal. And it's through developing those qualities that they're able to overcome and surmount and come out whole.
I want to follow up on something that you brought out in that example about Nephi, because I think a lot of sisters have questions about how do I, without being uncharitable, separate myself from somebody who is unhealthy for me in the way that you brought out that Nephi eventually had to.
It takes a lot of prayer and inspiration, revelation. This is not an instant decision. It isn't a shoot from the hip or just an aim for it kind of thing. This is something that distills upon a soul, and it has to do with spiritual and physical safety and the Lord helping us. And it takes counsel with priesthood leaders and trusted advisors. This isn't something you solve on the blogosphere. This is something where people close to you who know you and understand you and the dynamics of your situation. But you never have permission to go into the uncharitable world. I'm not saying we don't do that. I think it's very human to want to react. And Nephi admits that. But he also admits it's not the right way to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Mormon and Moroni learned that's not the right way to respond to people who are murdering your family. So it's keeping yourself pure enough to get the help you need from the Lord in its purest form.
Thank you. You're listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, and we're talking to Sister Julie B. Beck, who's the General Relief Society President, specifically today about charity and unconditional love. Sister Beck, what if you're having a hard time loving yourself? What if you're having a hard time directing charity toward you?
I think that's the hardest charity to show, because we know our own weaknesses better than anybody. We know what we're capable of and where we fall short. So that's always in front of us. Some people are born with a comfortable skin, I call that. I know some people who I just say they're comfortable in their skin. They tend to be happy with themselves. And other people are a lot more introspective and feel a lot more guilty about things. And we have to, that's the challenge for those that are too comfortable, is to push themselves to learn a few things they need to learn. And the ones that are not comfortable enough is to learn how to be charitable with themselves, and to seek for the affirmation of the Lord and that the confirming spirit that says, I have helped you. Isn't that evidence that I love you? Elder Christofferson's done some wonderful teaching about this. I would recommend his two conference talks about repentance and forgiveness. They're a matched set. And he talks about it's okay to feel guilt if it's helping us change, and we should, and the Lord will use that to help us change. So the world would teach us you should never feel guilty, because then you feel bad and you should always feel happy. But in reality, if we're not who the Lord needs us to be, we aren't going to feel very happy about that. And it's only when we're making that steady progress forward that we'll feel the Lord is pleased with our efforts. Number one, we do not want to disappoint the Lord. And the difficulties we have in our life are here for a reason. If we want to sit down in front of the Lord with people like Adam and Eve and Nephi and his wife and Mormon and Moroni and some of the pioneer sisters and Latter-day sisters who've sacrificed in this book, we're going to have to do some of the things they did and learn some of the lessons they learned. We won't feel comfortable with them if we haven't had to wrestle and triumph over some of these things.
It's a very pertinent part of the questions that came into the Mormon Channel. People asking, how do I learn to love myself and then learn to love other people? And how do I feel God's love for me? Because for a lot of people, that's the biggest barrier. I can't feel God's love. And so then I feel stuck. I feel stymied. And I feel like I'm being judged and I can't get access to his love. I want to play this audio and then we'll talk about that.
My name is Carol and I'm calling from Utah. And my question is, for Sister Beck, how does a person gain an understanding of God's love for her? I have struggled with this for a long time, and being an older, single, and childless woman has not helped the situation. I know intellectually that God loves me, but I don't often really feel it. What thoughts do you have? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carol. I think whether you're single and childless, or whether you're married and have a quiverful, these questions come. And sometimes women who have children struggle as much or more with feeling validated as ones who don't. I think no matter what our situation, women have to be able to solve this. One of the ways we solve it is by getting over ourselves. As long as we're focused on ourselves, it'll be a lot smaller. When we start serving others, when we start saying, Heavenly Father, who needs my help today? Then we'll find that we're being sent to places we wouldn't ordinarily go and think about people we wouldn't ordinarily think about. And then we realize the Lord trusts me and he loves me enough that I can be on his errand. I'm important to him. He knows my name. I've had numerous experiences with that where I realized the Lord knows my name because he sent me. And it's writing those things down and recognizing them. Another way to help get over it is to forgive. And all those qualities in the proclamation of the family that we have apply to older single sisters as well as sisters with a family. And every single sister is a future mother if she's going to earn the reward of her temple covenant. But it talks here about successful marriages and families and the qualities they have to have and how they're established. You've got to have, it's the faith and prayer and repentance and forgiveness and respect and love. That has to happen for you too. That you have to forgive yourself, the mistakes that have happened in your life. You can't keep collecting them like a bag of rocks. The sacrament is an important time when you get rid of your old self. If you study in Romans, get rid of your old self. If you're struggling with this, then next week you should get rid of some of that and feel more secure and more repenting and forgiving of yourself. There's a talk, another one by Elder Christofferson. I guess his teachings have resonated with me recently. This is now in the January 2012 Ensign, but it was also a CES address he gave talking about manna coming from heaven and that the Lord supplied the manna. Sometimes we think, I'll never be able to forgive myself, but you can do it for one day. Or I can never love myself, but you can do it for 1 hour. Can you allow yourself to love yourself for 1 hour and pick that up like manna from heaven, like it's a gift, and then get enough for another hour? And then get enough for another hour.
That's
and get yourself
image.
Through one day. And that today is a manna day. And today I can love myself. I might not be able to love myself for a month or 10 years, but I can love myself today and feel that. And Sister Bonnie Parkin used to teach this all the time. But I love that image of manna that Elder Christofferson talked about a struggle that went for a long time, and just getting through it was a daily effort, and the Lord had to supply it. So go to Him and ask Him to supply that for you for one day.
As a final question, somebody wrote into the channel and they said, I know that having a testimony of Jesus Christ will help me be charitable. I know that it'll help me develop those qualities. So how can I develop my testimony of Jesus Christ?
Well, you're never going to develop a testimony of Jesus Christ if you aren't in the Scriptures. His words are recorded. You have to know Him. Read the Book of Mormon. It's another testament or witness of Jesus Christ. It's His way of life. It's His way of doing things. It's what He would do. Another way to read is to read the New Testament. It's the stories of His life and how He operated and how He interacted with people. And He's not going to teach you about Him if you haven't already gone to the source where He's telling about Himself. So you have to know Him from the Scriptures and think about that. Now, this isn't just a one-time study. This means spend some time every day in the Scriptures. And you'll get enough in that day to ponder some about Him. If you learn about the atonement, study about the sacrament, open your Scriptures and mark every time you think it's something to do with the atonement, even if you're not sure. It probably is something about the atonement. If you go on a quest of a lifetime to learn about the atonement, the sacrament will begin to take on new meaning for you. And you will truly use that time to repent and change and become a new person, so that when you stand up from that bench on Sunday morning or afternoon after taking the sacrament, the old you is gone. Now you're a new you. And you've got 1 week to see how you're going to mess that one up. But at least you get a new chance. And then the next week, you're going to get another chance. And I look forward to that. Taking the sacrament and renewing those covenants every week is one of my great hopes in life. Well, okay, I didn't do so great today, but next Sunday I can take the sacrament again. I'll start all over. And a little at a time, then we can improve. Our God is a patient God. He created the Grand Canyon one grain of sand at a time. Don't you think He can work on you in that way if you're trying? I believe He can. So this testimony of the Savior and the atonement is very wrapped up in it. The development of charity and Christ-like qualities is the pursuit of a lifetime, and none of us are going to be perfect at it without the atoning power and help of the Savior. That's my testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today and opening the Scriptures and sharing some of these things that are personal to you and about how, you know, you feel about your testimony. Thank you for doing that. You've been listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more information on this program, you can visit our website at mormonchannel.org, or if you want to ask Sister Beck a question, email us at mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. Thanks again for listening.